Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
It's sci-fi and Squeam Gym, but not as we know it.
On Joy 94.9.
One station in all the world, a chosen station.
To boldly go where no show has gone before.
Sci-fi and Squeam.
On Joy 94.9.
The evil is back. Oh, I knew this would happen.
We need weapons.
Damn it. I knew I should have brought my handgun. I've killed him once, I can kill him again!
And this is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Welcome to the show this evening, May the 14th, and it's all about remakes. Remakes we break. We never know. Remakes, reboots of horror films, horrors and thrillers and cult classics. We'll find out. This is Sonia. Welcome to the show. And now I want to introduce two guests I have in the studio this evening here on the show. Brendan, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me, Sonia.
Oh, that's good.
I'm excited.
It's good to have you here. All right, Brendan, tell us the truth. Why are you here and where are you from?
Well, I actually do the Thursday morning Joy show here on Joy 94.9.
Mm-hmm.
But you found out my secret. That I'm a...
You weren't that secretive about
well,
it,
not,
actually.
Not too secretive, but I'm a big, big horror fan, so right. I've been looking for an excuse to come on the show and...
Found it.
And I found it.
Because tonight, we hope to relish in some of the gore, at least.
Love it.
Because we have one thing in common, the three of us this evening, but next, say hello to Bailey. Welcome, Bailey.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
It's good to have you here. We'll also be doing another edition of the A to Z of horror for all those horror virgins, I mean.
Yeah,
and Bailey's an expert at that.
Mm. Yep.
Yep. What are you doing tonight? What's the letter?
We're up to G.
G. And G for...
We're going into George A. Romero, who did...
Who?
Who? No, get out. No, George Romero, he's pretty much the father of zombies. He did Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead.
All those, yeah. Yeah,
you'll hear
fantastic.
More about it later.
And the interesting thing with Romero's films, of course, is the remake part of it. So we'll probably swerve in and out of that one too. It's a bit of dangerous territory, but we'll try to do that later in the show, of
murky,
course.
Very murky waters.
Murky. But speaking of murky, and to me quite clear as well, so that's kind of mixed. The thing we have in common that I mentioned before, the one thing the three of us here have in common, Brendan Bailey, and I should change my name to something called B, but I'm sure I've been called a few things to start with B. Look, it would have to be Evil Dead. Arriving in Oz.
Finally.
Yes. So we will be chatting about that probably towards the middle section of the show tonight. And I think we've all got our opinions. We're a bit excited about it.
I'm ecstatic.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear what you guys think about it.
Okay. I'm a bit scared. What does that mean? You say it like that.
You're secretly here to judge us, aren't you?
No. I'm very nice.
Now, because you've said, Brendan, before that you do some work here at Joy, what are you up to?
Yeah, so
lately.
Lately I had been doing the Thursday afternoon Joy with Paul Anthony.
And okay.
He sort of took me under his wing, and because I did do the Taste of Radio course last year,
mm-hmm.
and he sort of picked me a little bit after that, and put took me under his wing, and eventually I did a little bit of fill-in work on April Fool's Day. And
so was it real, or was it a joke when I said turn up April Fool's?
Well, I guess it was real. They didn't say, I didn't rock up and they said, well, no, we were joking.
We were kidding. Cool.
But yeah, so I got some soul experience, and yeah, Chris Jemison sort of put me up for Thursday mornings to take over from Anastasia while she's doing the breakfast show with Dolly Diamond, which is, wow, that's a lot of fun, that one.
That would be.
But it's hard to follow that, I'll put it out there.
It is hard. But I mean, you've got that horror interest, and now for the awful part of this introduction for a guest, and that is you have to do what I've made even Bailey do, I believe, and that is say what is to you your most favourite horror film.
Oh, geez.
See, that's mean.
That's so mean. Although I probably could list top five pretty easily. So I'm a bit of an originalist. So you've got to go with, you know,
traditionalist.
So off the top of my head, you know, you've got your Halloween, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Hard to pick.
Probably put in, or Scream possibly. Ooh, as a post modern one.
All right. Okay.
So, yeah, we'll stick with four. I like the four, but
You only have one.
No, well, Scream definitely wouldn't be one.
It wouldn't be.
So I'll go with Halloween. I think Halloween's the original. Well, not the original. Christmas is, I feel, one of the originals. But yeah, one of my favourites, I think. The most timeless.
Very nice.
Timeless.
Call it that.
All right. Now, is anybody else out there listening right now in your car, or, you know, you might be in your shed curing a few animals' heads or something? since we are talking about that kind of genre, you can SMS us and let us know what your favourite, perhaps, remake of a horror film might be. Yeah, let us know. Do you have a remake? And your opinion about horror remakes, should it be done?
I think some are good.
Some not so good.
Some are atrocious.
What would be one, before we go too deeply into it, in the last couple of years, what would be one that you can think off the top of your head, guys, either of you?
As a really good one?
As a really bad one.
Oh, bad one.
Yeah. Friday the 13th.
Okay. Ooh, all right.
Yeah, it had its moments, though. But I can see why.
Compared to the original.
It was definitely disappointing. I'll put it that way.
That Friday the 13th remake was basically just a complete loss of potential because what made me the most frustrated at it was in the climax, they were fighting around a wood chipper that no one got thrown in.
No one got chipped.
Oh. Bailey, you had an experience of wood chipper once, I believe.
Did I?
You were telling me about a tree you were wood chipping. Anyway, that was so last week.
Now, I've got two really terrible ones.
Oh, okay.
Now,
all right.
Hopefully, well, I don't know, hopefully, if you've seen them. Prom Night.
Oh,
the remake.
Oh, yes, please. Yes. That's just, I almost fell asleep, to be quite honest.
And also April Fool's Day, which had nothing to do with the original. Have you seen the original? 86?
No.
I've actually not seen either.
Oh, look, so long ago, no. Probably something that was put on while I was, you know, supposedly babysat. But she was a bad babysitter. Or she was a good babysitter. That's when I first saw The Exorcist.
Oh.
Yeah, it was my babysitter.
Best babysitter
I watched
ever.
It. That was my first experience with horror, and that freaked me out for years.
And that, of course, is Larry Cohen, I believe.
No, that was It's Alive.
It's Alive.
The Stephen King.
Oh, yeah.
It was more of a
big fail, Sonia.
Sort of thing. I haven't seen It's Alive, though.
No.
But yeah, no, It, the kind of, it was sort of a film, sort of a TV thing, but it's Stephen King.
Yeah.
The Clown.
Pennywise the Clown.
Pennywise, very
horrible.
Frightening.
Has
that ever been remade?
No, but I think they've been thinking about it for a few years. So
maybe they'll keep thinking about it and won't do anything about it.
I hope they don't.
No.
Yeah, some things. All right, well, while we're thinking about that, what wouldn't we want to see ever remade, just before we do move to the next part of the show?
Well, unfortunately, I think they are going through with it. The Birds.
Look, I heard a bit of a rumour, but no, you're right. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't touch that.
No.
Yeah,
Bailey?
I agree. I did see a really nice sort of semi-remake homage to The Birds called Birdemic.
I haven't seen that yet. I've been wanting
to. Yeah, but that's taking a jest and fun. That's not serious, is it?
It's meant to be serious.
Oh, is it?
It is. Probably the worst movie I've ever seen.
The worst best movie?
No, just the, I don't. I, just
not like Troll 2.
And then they're going to eat me.
Or any of the Leprechaun films.
Oh.
No, don't go there. Don't go there. All right, so yeah, don't forget to get in touch with us and let us know your favourite remake. the worst ever remake, and what would give you an absolute chill if they ever made your favourite horror film into a remake, as if they haven't already. This is Sci-Fi and Scream with Brendan, Bailey and Sonia here on Joy 94.9.
This is Mark Shepherd. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Lana Del Rey doing a remake of a song, which I quite like. It's Blue Velvet. David Lynch isn't considered horror. Probably more just Twisted, plain Twisted and Cult. But the
human horror, maybe.
Yeah, the original soundtrack for the film was pretty amazing. Mm. But I really like what Lana's done there. That was Brendan's choice. Thanks, Brendan.
You're welcome.
All right. So we're in the studio here on Sci-Fi and Scream with Brendan and Bailey and all things horror remakes. Now, one of the big ones, of course, that we all went and saw and well, we'll find out what we thought of it in a moment, was the remake to Evil Dead. This is Evil Dead 2013. It's the new one. And we saw that last week for a midnight session. Did we not, Bailey?
We did. And it was, I liked it.
I what, the it. Midnight session or the
Oh, yes. Everything about it.
Was the cinema full?
Packed.
Very nearly.
Okay.
Pretty packed. Mm. A few people probably didn't turn up. You know, you get those. Oh, it's too late. But they actually had two cinemas running at the Nova. Because it was the only place. Oh, I thought they only had two. Well, there you go. But they were all pretty full, apparently.
Hmm. But it's great that Cinema Nova is actually carrying the film, isn't it?
Well, yeah. It harks back to, of course, what happened last year, which isn't a film, but The Cabin in the Woods. Pretty much similar type of thing with Sony distributions deciding not many people want to see this film, but they were very wrong. I believe it was Nova's biggest ever.
Mm-hmm.
As far as returns. Yep. So there you go. It just proves that people do want to see a good thrill ride, a bit of a horror now and then.
There are a fair few horror fans out there.
Yeah.
Not just us in the studio.
No, there's not just three. There might be five.
Yeah. Five, six, maybe seven.
Baker's dozen, since we talked about Friday the 13th last time we were on air. Now, of course, Evil Dead, the director is Uruguayan Fede Alvarez, who was discovered, apparently, by Sam Raimi. And Ron Tappert, the original creators of Evil Dead from back in the 80s. Now, the writers are also Fede Alvarez. He did the screenplay and stars Jane Levy, Shiloh Fernandez, some people might know from Dead Girl, apart from other things, Lou Taylor Pucci. And look, I think there's more going on with Uruguay now than soccer. So I found it pretty impressive. I think he's got quite an imagination there, but kept true to the actual original in a way, but I'll get to that in a moment. Now, as far as plot goes, two things distinctly were different, I think, as far as my memory tells me, from the original to now the 2013 version, and that is we seem to have a story right at the beginning. So yes, there are spoilers in our show tonight, but it can't really be helped, so you can turn off now if you want to. Go ahead, make our day or evening. Now, what I found a bit jarring was the fact we had a very much type of almost, I would say, Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake style mixed with Hostel and Saw sort of style. Stylistically, I'm talking about filmatically, with a girl in the forest who's bad and evil, and then we see her in what obviously is an underground area. It turns out to be the basement later on in the cabin for the rest of the story, but she's tied to a post, and there's that sacrificial kind of cat aspect. Mm. And I just thought, I don't know. That made me a little bit... I'm going to ask you guys in a minute, but that made me feel a little bit uncomfortable simply because I thought, how is this going to fit? And it just seemed a little bit overwrought and overdone. But that's my opinion. What did you think about that first scene?
Well, it's funny that you said that. I thought it didn't take me, well, it took me about three quarters of the way through to sort of really, I got the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Platinum Dunes kind of feel from it. And I thought, I think it's a little bit too polished for what it is, and especially compared to the original. And I know it is trying to do its own thing, but...
But where did that part of the story come from? I didn't felt it really was a fitting part to it, but maybe it made sense later on. Bailey, no, first part.
I kind of agree. Like, it's kind of shiny almost, the entire movie.
Glossy, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. But towards the end, it kind of makes it gets better visually, I think.
Hmm.
But in terms of the girl in the basement and all of that, I actually really liked it. yeah.
No, I thought you did enjoy that. I can understand why. I mean, it was effective with the special effects and that side of thing. But, it did remind me of something from the early 2000s or late 90s. And I thought, I want to see how this is going to be like the 80s horror of Evil Dead.
Mm. But I think it's more for setting tone and vibe and...
Yeah. And storyline, I probably need you too, of course. But then we have the next part of the rest of the film, pretty much, where we have a girl who needs to kick her habits. She obviously has a drug problem. And instead of most normal people taking their friend to a clinic, I don't know, I'm just putting it out there, rehab clinics are apparently quite good for that type of thing, and they're generally clean.
Yes.
They take her, thinking it's a great thing to do, they take her to a very secluded cabin in the woods, which obviously, you know, there's the cabin in the woods. I mean, that's in itself a whole entire trope and homage to probably ever been, you know, horror film since.
Yeah, my kind of problem with that was coming off so recently after Cabin in the Woods, I couldn't take it that seriously, to be honest.
I was laughing a little under my skin.
Because it had just been taken... almost parodied in Cabin in the Woods, or taken to a different degree, is just sort of it felt a little bit flat for me.
It did look a bit two-dimensional.
The setting.
But the setting I found quite gorgeous because it was so almost like 1990s Hammer horror, if Hammer was still making films.
Yeah.
The sets looked a bit fake. Bailey, what did you think of the look of the film at that point?
I actually really liked it. I loved everything, all the little bits of character development, all the little shots around the cabin and outside the cabin. And there's this one shot where Mia, who's the main girl, who's the one who's kicking the habit, she's sitting on an old car that's, you know, rusted and, you know, overgrown in some bushes out the back. And there's a really kind of low shot looking up at her with some really nice lighting behind her. And I thought, oh, wow, that's... I really like that shot.
Yeah, there was lots of very stagey, effective, almost theatrical type of look and everything. And then I thought, I wonder if this is made in New Zealand, because I spotted a few native ferns. And sure enough, later on we find out it is Weta Works
that had
a lot of input into that. That was kept pretty quiet, or is it just because... all CGI is done there now. I don't know.
Well, what sort of tipped me off at the start, and I thought, oh, no, there must be something different, was the Ghost House pictures. A lot of them have been made in New Zealand, like Boogeyman, a few other ones,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, right. And, all Canada.
All Canada, So I thought, oh, no, that, you know, they must be just branching out to different locations. And then, it took to the last credits when it said a lot about New Zealand and Weta Workshop. And I thought,
New Zealand. The credits were looking a bit like a phone book from Te Atatū or something. Yeah, but look, I mean, I think getting back to those scenes, there are some fantastic special effects and quite a lot to do with a nail gun. There's a lot of nail gun action going on later on in the film. And I think as a tale, I think basically it's borrowed so mercilessly, from the original Sam Raimi delightful film, which I think I could say Evil Dead 1 and 2, to me, are such delightful movies.
Yep.
I know that might sound odd, but they are so lovely as a piece of pop culture art reference that... You know, I started to warm up to this because I could see, this must be made by fans. You could feel that sense that it is made by...
I got that feeling as well.
A Raimi baby.
Yeah.
Alvarez, his name is, of course. So, look, I do recommend it. I don't know about you guys, but I found it quite a bit of fun. I think it's something you want to take a friend along to, someone who understands all those references and tropes and symbols and stuff like that, and where it comes from originally from the Raimi-verse, and to forget about the Spider-Man days and move on and realise that, it's quite a slick, nice production. Bailey?
I actually really loved the remake. I thought it was fantastic. I thought it knew exactly what it was, what it was trying to be, and it did not apologize for anything. it knows its audience and it knows what it wants and it delivers.
And I think what was great too, it took some of the hipsterism of torture porn, so to speak, movies like Saw and Hostel, and actually flipped it around and gave us some humour back, which yeah. I think some of the younger audience there weren't quite sure. In fact, I saw a bunch of hipsters leaving going, that was silly, not getting the whole punchline of the movie.
I mean, the first two, Army of Darkness, you know, which is Evil Dead 3, that's outrageously silly.
Oh, it's over the top camp. And this is the same, really.
Pretty much. Brendan,
final words, and how would you rate it?
See, I, like, as critical as I've been on it on the show, I still really enjoyed it. I think out of the remakes, it's still in the top tier of remakes that have been made.
Very good.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I guess I just had really high expectations going in.
So what are you going to give it out of 5?
I'd still give it 4 out of 5.
Oh, me too.
It's very solid.
I'm giving it 4 out of 5. I'm saying have a lot of fun with this, people. It's gore, it's silly, it's ridiculous. There are some dodgy sort of erotic asphyxiation bits and strange sister brother stuff, but hey, we've all done Star Wars. Bailey,
yeah,
out of 5?
I'm good with a 4.
Hey, this is a really high rating. This is good. This is like The Cabin in the Woods, but for perhaps more horror fans, true horror fans than...
Yes.
Maybe more taken seriously.
Hmm?
Maybe more played seriously rather than, hey, look, horror movies are funny, you know?
Yeah, no, I found it just funny. I found it like the original. Yeah. I think without the talking deer heads and stuff, I think that would have gone too far.
Did you see the, I don't know if it was an intentional reference, but the chainsaw or the machete choice towards the...
Yeah, that was lovely.
I noticed that.
Was that
fantastic.
A Friday the 13th reference?
A bit of both. I think there was a bit there.
I love it though.
It is.
It. And look, so what did you think?
I'm giving it 4 out of 5.
You're going with 4 as well.
I am, actually. Oh.
So we're in agreement.
Yeah. That doesn't happen every day. Well, it's the first time you've been on Sci-Fi and Squeam, actually. And to say that, we are Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Don't forget to SMS us if you've seen Evil Dead, the remake, or if you're just going to say no and say, oh, I love my precious Raimi, don't touch it. More of that in a moment.
Salve, I am Claudio Simonetti, the Goblin keyboard player, and you are listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
A to Z of horror.
With Bailey for Horror Virgins.
Only on Sci-Fi and Squeam.
All right, hello. Welcome to Edited of Horror. We're doing G tonight. Going very, very far back in time for George Romero with Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead, Land of the Dead, Diary, you know the rest, Survival, blah, blah, blah. Very cool. So, Sonia, have you seen any of these movies?
Yes, I've seen, well, the first maybe 5 that he's done.
Yep.
Okay, because there's been so many remakes, as we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, I know.
It can get very confusing.
I know, it's a nice coincidence, because tons of Romero's movies have actually been remade in various capacities, basically.
Various levels of taste and, and distinguishedness. But I probably would say the number one for me is, well, the original 1968, Night of the Living Dead. But hey, I'll let it go back to you.
Hey, yeah.
Bailey.
So, very, very minor confession time. I have not actually seen Night of the Living Dead.
That's it. You're out. What should we do with Bailey, Brendan?
Well...
because that's just not good enough.
I've got a confession to make as well.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Oh, both of you,
I've
out.
Only seen the first 10 minutes of it.
Why the only first 10 minutes?
Well, I was watching it on YouTube because the whole...
says it all.
No, the whole version's on there because it's actually open source, I think, now. It's what do they call it? Open domain or...
Public domain.
Public domain. That's what I was looking for. So, yeah, you can just watch it for free or download it for free
that
and actually
why
not
I,
get caught.
that explains why I got a free copy of Night of the Living Dead in the back of a book that I bought the other day.
Oh. Well, look, all I can say is Night of the Living Dead is probably the most... out of all of his films, I think, even though it's the very first of the Shuffler Brigade of zombie movies he made, It definitely is one of the most socio-politically staunch, and to me, really knocks you in the head if you've seen it all the way through. I'm not going to spoil it because you need to sit down and really watch it, you guys. Yeah. I'm ashamed of you. No, it's okay.
We're sorry. I'll get over it. I've read a lot about it. That's the funny thing. I've read so much about it, and then I've seen all the sequels and the remakes and all those things.
Yes, let's hope. I don't know if they've done Night of the Living Dead again.
Done it about four times, I think.
There was a 1990 remake. Tom Savini directed. Oh. And if you're not familiar with Tom Savini, he's...
Why are you listening to the show?
No, that's not fair. Come on, after my massive passion. No, he's pretty much infamous in the horror fandom because his special effects are insanely realistic, gory, and legendary.
Well, he's very legendary. Part of that whole troop of troopers who know how to make blood splatter out of a fake head.
Oh, yes.
Doing it so well ever since Dario Argento, probably, pretty much.
And if you actually want to know what Tom Savini looks like, all you need to do is watch either Once Upon a Time, From Dusk Till Dawn, or Planet Terror. Because he's in both of them.
I just see a moustache. A moustache.
Yes. Pretty much.
But
anyway,
Bailey, back to George Romero.
Back to the point, yes.
Why? Why have you chosen... I mean, it's a big thing to put a whole letter and call it George.
Yeah, George Romero. He is... there is no way you can understate this, but he is the grandfather of zombies.
Some might take you to task about that, but no? Okay, so why are you saying that? Come on, you've got to...
Oh, wow. You want me to supply proof?
Yeah, proof. With his films. Give us them.
Well, like you said before, I've read that he likes to send sort of a message in his movies, right? So, like I said before, I haven't seen Night of the Living Dead, but I've seen Dawn and Day and Land.
Sounds like Dawn and Day and Land. I love that.
But they all have their own.
They've all got their own thing.
And the really thing going on.
Especially in Dawn of the Dead, which was the second one in the series, because if you don't know, Dawn of the Dead, it involves a group of survivors holding out in a shopping mall. But at the time, when this movie was made in... I had it on my list. Back in 1978.
78, yeah.
Shopping malls were a relatively new thing.
In the US, they were it was the birth of the multiplex, the mass marketing consumerism, and that's what his point was, I guess, was like, we're all zombies and all we do is shop.
Yeah. That's exactly it.
Probably true.
And that's why...
Shoes!
Shoes for you. All right.
And no, that's not me.
But. Ears. I was going to say ears, but...
And it's... I think they try to sort of do the same thing in the remake, the 2004 remake, but it doesn't quite get there. But what it lacks in terms of message, it makes up for in basically pure excitement.
And this is the 2004 Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
And where do you guys stand on running versus walking zombies while we're talking about
that? All right. Well, the difference is zombies shuffle, infecteds run.
Oh.
All right.
So you've got that distinction, okay. I like it.
I don't know about that.
28 days later, they aren't actually zombies.
No.
They're infected, so they're not actually dead and come back.
A lot of people claim that the 2004 remake of Dawn of the Dead was the birth of the running zombie. They're wrong. It was actually 28 days later.
It might have even been earlier than that, but I'm thinking Fulci, the Italian filmmaker, around the same time as Romero, but... in Italy, obviously. He did go to New York a couple of times and he made two films using some of the same actors in the same apartment as you do in Manhattan. I mean, as you do when you're making a B-grade schlock horror film. Like, I think it was called Manhattan Possessed or something.
Oh, okay.
There you go. So we know the location. But he did have some zombies running in his one. That was 78, 79. So... But Romero, apart from looking like the identical twin brother of Martin Scorsese, what else makes his film so special when it comes to the zombie theme and trope?
Well, it's almost exhaustive on...
If we say exhausting.
On just the whole zombie sort of themes, you know? I mean, there's zombies in all sorts of contexts. And the first four movies, which are in order, which are Night of the Living Dead, Dawn,
so Day, these are the ones
Land.
You would recommend. Would you recommend them in this order?
Sort of.
For a virgin?
Not really, maybe.
No, okay. Well, what would you recommend then?
Well, I haven't seen Night, so I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I could probably recommend it, but
Well, you can't recommend something you haven't seen. So, which one would you recommend to start with in your
Dawn
opinion?
Of the Dead.
Because of that, you know, consumerist,
and
anti-consumerist.
It's also extremely long.
And it there's a few different cuts. There's a few different cuts around it, I think, as well.
I don't remember, but I rented it years ago on DVD, and it really caught me off guard that it went for like 2 and a bit hours.
Sit for. I think it's great. You've got character development. You've got lots of things happening. Actually, that's a good place to start.
Yeah.
For
the
virgins.
Thing about, the thing about the old Romero movies, Dawn, Day, etc., is they're very slow. If you watch, I think my mistake was that I watched the remake first, which is very high tension and exciting,
and this is the
Zack
Snyder,
and then
one from 2004.
I went back to see Dawn of the Dead, the original, and I was like, oh, yeah. Okay. Is that
if you've got attention deficit, it's not the movie for you.
Yeah, it's very slow.
Well, thank you for that, Bailey. We're going to chat more about some of the remakes, I think, because there's quite a few remakes in the genre of zombie films, so we'll talk about that in a moment. But thanks for your recommendation. Dawn of the Dead is the one you watch, you virgins out there, of horror films.
I reckon Dawn
and
of the Dead.
Zombie films. That was G. G.
G
for George. The lovely, the one and only George Romero. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Yes, Sci-Fi and Squeam, where we groan and groan for more. We have Brendan and Bailey and Sonia in the studio. If you say that too fast, you'll probably get dizzy and fall over. Yes, we've been talking about remakes, good and bad in the horror genre, the things that we love, the gore, the zombies, the shufflers and the runners, the fast and the slow. Now, Brandon's got a list of some remakes, and he's going to kind of dissect a little bit there, and we're going to help chop him up.
Some of my favourite ones that have popped up in the last, even going back to, 1981, I think it is, The Thing.
Oh, all right.
A remake of The Thing from Another World.
Yeah, John Carpenter.
John Carpenter himself.
Love
loved
him.
It. So that's one of my favourite of all time.
That's very good.
But I think it was from 2006. Hills Have Eyes is another one of my big favourites.
Yeah, you guys were talking about it off air.
We were.
It's a bit frightening.
I love that remake.
Why, it's Bailey?
Because it's brutal. And
it's brutal. Yes.
Filthy.
Filthy.
Yep.
In what sort of way? You mean like lots of mushy bits of makeup?
No,
and
I mean
organ bits and pieces.
No, not quite like that. Mm-hmm. Like we were talking about with the Evil Dead remake, how everything was just a little bit too shiny and glossy. This is kind of the opposite. I've in the very start of the Hills Have Eyes remake, everything just seems dirty. Like everything has a layer of dirt and dust and grime.
Oh.
On it.
You think that was deliberate, or it was just because they couldn't afford a cleaner?
Hope it was deliberate because it worked very well.
It did, and that's Alexandra Aja.
Alexandra Aja, who did Piranha 3D, which is hilarious.
Oh,
and,
he did.
And of
high
course,
tension.
Was involved in Haute Tension or High Tension, the lesbian psychodrama. We love that.
He
was a producer for Maniac, which we spoke about off air.
And had you seen P2 from that director as well? That was kind of his.
Which one was that?
Oh, I didn't know he did that.
Frank Calhoun. So it was produced by Alexandra.
Oh, okay.
Just produced. Possibly written,
that
I think,
isn't
as
enough
well.
Work.
But yeah, I think that whole sort of his aesthetic and his the way he likes to produce is to create like a really violent horror film, like really in your face.
It's very French in that respect, European horror.
But it's very modern at the same time as well, sort of modern French. A lot of older films, they're quite subtle. They couldn't get away with as much possibly back in the day.
Yeah.
Now it's pushed to its
limit. It's pretty much Blitzrig. Mm. Blitzrig blood everywhere. Yeah. And if you have an opinion, please let us know what's your favourite horror remake, because we're going to have to, finish off very shortly.
Yes.
Oh, a hockey mask. Love it. Yes, Jerry has got the hockey mask on. You can call him. He's decked out in a hockey mask, but he's also doing a homage to, I'm not sure if it's a Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but he's wearing a sackcloth dress with blood on it.
I don't know if that was intentional.
Not sure.
Okay. He's a snappy dresser. Yeah. Maybe he's getting rid of Eurovision.
Maybe he had to do something before he came in tonight.
He could be Bulgaria. But, all right, I spit on your grave.
Oh,
1978, the original, with the wonderful Camille Keaton. Mm. And then, of course, it was done again later, which, pretty gory. Again, I think it's got that European sensibility of let's make it as... you know, as disgusting as possible. And that was by director Stephen Monroe in 2010. But it's a funny film, you know, it's very confronting. I'm not sure if it's a great remake. I'm not doing my favourites, by the way, just ones that...
Pops out. So I haven't seen the remake. I've seen the original, though, and I think that was disturbing enough.
Very disturbing.
It'd be interesting to watch that one, then.
Yeah, and, of course, a lot of controversy about it, of course, this way of the portrayal of women in horror. It probably set the tone for some very nasty ones that made... you know, 10, 15 years later. Well, what else have you got there as far as remakes?
Well, I'd love to talk about J-horror or even just Asian horror remakes in general, because you can't just talk about J-horror. There's K-horror.
I know. There's T-horror.
T-horror, all those
kind of
things.
I don't mean T, but, you know, Taiwan.
But my favourite would probably be...
Oh, I wonder what this will be.
It's a tie between The Ring and The Grudge.
Oh, okay. Look, I've covered that before. Yeah. I'll just have to say, but it is your first time, so we'll let you off. But I agree. I do think the original Ju-on Grudge is basically amazing. But I've picked one that I thought was a really good remake version, Dark Water. With Jennifer Connelly. Yeah. I found that, pretty engaging and very spooky. You know, it's that slow build up, drip, drip, like a tap. It was good.
I've actually not seen that or heard of it until tonight.
It is very good, and the acting in it is definitely above par for horror.
So Dark Water, remake's not too bad. Done in 2005. And the director is Walter Salles, who does a lot of sort of indie type of Americana films. He doesn't normally do anything horror or thriller-like. It's quite a weird departure, but nice film.
Nice to get
nice
out.
Is the word.
Well, it was a drama horror. Like, the original was fairly drama horror-ish, but I think it was a little bit more overtly horror.
Yeah, I think
it had
right.
that more imagery. But yeah, the remake, it had more of that human story and possibly a lot more drama and focus on the performances rather than the horror aspect of it, which is great.
Bailey,
I think it's different.
You've got one as well, like a remake.
A favourite remake?
A remake that's better than the original.
Better than the
How's
original.
That?
Oh, that's...
All right, pass, we'll move on.
No, all right, Hills Have Eyes.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, you're going to settle with that one. All right, you two, you're so the same.
Okay, how about something completely different?
You're right.
Ah,
what?
Last House on the Left.
Well, very good. I don't know. That is a hard one because they're both decidedly creepy and nasty. And, I actually couldn't finish watching the remake. I mean, watching the original was bad enough.
But what, because it was disturbing or because it was, you know, trash?
No, because it was very disturbing. Well, and you have to remind yourself, this is only a movie. This is only a movie.
But that's what you want, isn't it? That's what you want
that's
from horror movies,
yeah,
right?
I know.
But what about Funny Games? Haneke. I mean, we have covered that in the past. But he made a remake that isn't actually really a remake. It's an exact copy. So it's just called another copy, a duplicate.
Well, if you guess what,
self-plagiarization?
Pretty much. One's in English, one's in German.
It was very polished, the remake of it. But
true.
Speaking of shot for shot, you can't go past Psycho, I guess.
Yeah.
Gus Van Sant remake.
Gus Van Sant.
Everyone tries to forget about
it. But... every gay man's favourite film would have to be Psycho.
The remake was in the 90s, wasn't it?
98, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I think that, unfortunately, once again, that was my first encounter. I think I watched the remake first, then I sought out the original afterwards. Still love the original, obviously, but yeah, it's weird to see the remake first. But I think that was the point I was going to make this week, being on here, is I love the fact that remakes come out and hopefully it sort of directs people to the originals in a way.
Yeah, let's hope so.
It gets the word out.
I agree. And it's good when you get a remake of a movie from a very long-running and iconic franchise, like Nightmare on Elm Street and you can actually say what you want about the actual quality of the remakes, but the fact is that it introduces a new generation to the older stuff.
Exactly.
Mm. So if the original film is crap, then the remake may not be that great. It might not have a good start. But I'm thinking Cat People, which goes right back. The original, of course, is 1942. A woman turns into a cat. That's pretty simple and straightforward. And then, of course, you've got the wonderful remake, which happened in 1982. Yeah. I quite enjoyed that. It was creepy and great soundtrack by David Bowie. A favourite here on the show, of course. Right, well, Sci-Fi and Scream is trying to do the remake, and we're slowly, the hourglass is just about empty. So we will return shortly with a wrap up and decide what is the best remake of all time. That's really going to be unfair, fun.
Great.
Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Wrapping it up. And in the background, we have got Rob. Yes, this is called Rob, and it's from Maniac. The Lustig, I believe it is, Lustig remake that came out last year with the little Hobbit man himself, Elijah Wood, really making a bit of a interesting career choice. I can't say I enjoyed it, but I certainly I would recommend it.
Yeah, it's one of those ones, isn't it? You don't enjoy it, but it's a great film.
But you have to sit through it. You really do. And it's fast-paced. It really is. It's a disturbing story of a serial killer who has a penchant for women's scalps. And we just take it from there. He likes mannequins and dolls, and you can imagine he's a sort of a solo single sort of guy. Now, we had a message from Viscount Hayward, who says he was enjoying the show very much as usual. Thank you, Viscount. Ponchons, my count. All right, now we've got to finally do it and say it.
Oh, dear.
Best remake of all universe time continuum. Bailey, you're on the spot, and you've got 5 seconds.
5 seconds. remake. Okay.
Okay.
Evil Dead.
Oh, haven't we just done that?
No. Yes.
Yes. Well, we did give it a high rating, the remake.
This is what happens when you put me on the spot. I just...
Yeah. Fair enough. All right. Brandon.
Now,
before we say goodnight.
Now, I did say the thing before, and that is definitely one of my favourites, but I might go with The Fly, which I know it is
How
sort of horror
dare
sci-fi.
You? How dare you? That was my choice.
Oh, no.
The David Cronenberg is fantastic with Jeff Goldblum. Love Jeff Goldblum. Oh,
love it.
That is wonderful.
Gina Davis, isn't it?
Oh, his Hitch at the time.
Yes.
I did say Hitch. I meant his woman, his partner in crime.
Yes.
Yeah, 1986. Oh. Good old Cronenberg.
It was a good year.
Damn Canadians, aren't they clever?
Actually, is it too late to change my answer?
Oh, you've got no time now.
Oh, well.
Sorry. You'll have to leave us in suspense. We'll put it on Facebook.
All right.
All right, next week, Sci-Fi and Scream is doing more things. We're looking at fantasy fiction, but also to announce we've got World War Z coming up, which is very exciting. We'll have an interview with Max Brooks in a couple of weeks' time. So stay tuned. Thanks, Brendan, and thanks, Bailey.
Thanks for having
me.
Up next.
Us.
You and I. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy in 94.9.
Are you afraid of the dark? You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.